Today on Come Receive the Light, we're going to go behind the scenes with the co-founder of one of the most popular and influential children's video series available.
We really try to, with Bob and Larry, and with our whole cast, just make them friends of kids. I look back to my own childhood and, you know, Bugs Bunny or Big Bird and these characters that, you know, if you, you watch them, they become your friends and you care about what they have to say. And that's what we hope for kids with Bob and Larry. They spend time with them, they become their friends, they go on adventures with them, and what they believe about the world and what they believe about God becomes, you know, it's important to Bob and Larry, and it becomes important to the kids as well. So, you know, that's what we try to do with the show.
Are you familiar with VeggieTales? Well, even if you've seen every episode, probably multiple times if you have young children, we're going to share with you some information during the next few minutes which will help you appreciate the programs and those who create them even more. And if you aren't familiar with VeggieTales, then you're in for an even bigger treat as we take you on an adventure of discovery on this week's edition of Come Receive the Light. I'm Mike Trout, and our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos, and this is an outreach of the Orthodox Christian Network, or as we call it, OCN. And knowing what's ahead, probably the best thing I can do for you this week is to direct you to our website at myocn.net. That's myocn.net, and the OCN web store. Now, the web store is packed with resources which have been handpicked for listeners just like yourself, books and videos and CDs and study guides and a whole lot more. There's a link right on the homepage at myocn.net that will take you to the web store. Now, the reason I mention the web store is that we have a couple of resources our guests are going to talk about today, and those will be available there. Plus, the OCN web store is our portal to Amazon, and what that means is that if you enter the Amazon website through myocn.net, any purchase you make generates a donation back to the ministry. We appreciate that. The VeggieTales videos are all available there, and a book we're just about to introduce you to is available there as well. Once more, the website is myocn.net. Father Chris is going to get us started today with a quick conversation about the Lenten fast.
Arthur Lefsidis is on the phone with me today to talk about his new Lenten cookbook. Arthur, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Very good. I was really struck with how this cookbook stays true not only to the letter of the law, let's say, when it comes to fasting, but also to the spirit of fasting. Can you talk with us a little bit about your thoughts on fasting, the meals prepared, and all that?
To me, fasting revolves around basically one modest meal a day, usually dinner. I know that's difficult for all of us to do, but when it comes to that meal, it shouldn't really be about trying to find turkey-flavored tofu or using every appliance in the kitchen.
Right.
And I think we overlook many of the options we have, and we shouldn't really struggle to nourish our bodies during Lent.
Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of families who don't keep the Wednesday-Friday fasts throughout the year, but really want to do something for, let's say now, Nativity and the Lenten fast, but it's hard, isn't it? How do we get to that sort of the vegan, the vegetarian groove? What are some easy tips to help families get that going a little bit easier?
You're right. It is difficult, and it's difficult for me as well. I think a good start would be to try fasting on Wednesdays and Fridays at the beginning of the calendar year, at least for our Easter Lenten season. It might be helpful when the Lent rolls around to already have started at least some routine, maybe twice a week. Also, there's a campaign that came out about 10 years ago called Meatless Monday to promote better health, and I think even that would be a good jumping off point. You know, pick a day during the week, doesn't necessarily have to be Monday, where you go meatless, and that might be able to ease you into fasting. You know, it's very difficult to do it for the entire Easter fast, but it might be a good jumping off point.
Well, it's like the Lenten period has been likened to an Olympic run, and you wouldn't go from, let's say, zero to your full speed not having practiced all year long. So if you're not fasting or at least somehow holding back on a Wednesday and a Friday, and then all of a sudden the Nativity fast is on you and you're going to fast every day, I don't think it's really practical to say we can turn that light switch on and off very easily. Do you?
No, I don't think so at all. Like I said, if you just, you know, at least one day prior to even the Nativity fast to go meatless, it might get you into that groove. Mm-hmm.
Another stumbling block, I think, for people is lunches. And when you're out eating and you want to grab something quick, you'll eat something, and then, of course, you're not eating what you should be. Can you offer any tips on lunches?
There are a few recipes in the book I wrote that are meant to be served colder at room temperature. Gazpacho is one. There's a potato salad called ensaladilla. Those are pretty good to pack away, bring with you to school or even to work. And then there's a few microwave meals as well that if you have that ability in your office where you work to heat up, there's a chili and some soups and even a chow mein.
All right. I'm thinking about fasting already in the food as you're talking.
Yeah.
You know, I want to go back to your cookbook for a moment. One of my favorite features is that every single recipe has a color picture to go with it. That usually is a huge help because you're able to see what the finished products should look like. Many times our finished products don't look anything like the picture.
Right.
Is that part of your broader desire to make Lenten cooking easier and less intimidating?
Yeah, it is. And cooking shouldn't be intimidating for anybody. They just need to get in the kitchen and start. I've seen in many cookbooks recipes, they look great as far as the ingredients go, but without knowing what it might look like makes people a little more reluctant to try preparing them, in my opinion. So I've also included a notes section under each picture, and I encourage people in the introduction to make dishes their own, you know, remove certain items they don't like or possibly less salt or use everything to kind of make it easier for the preparation in meals.
Okay, let me ask you one final question. Where can our listeners go to find out more about your book or even buy a copy?
They can go to LentonCookbook.com and order a copy. If it's not available at their parish bookstore, I did put a column in on the webpage on the right-hand side of churches that were gracious enough to purchase it from me as a fundraiser for their own benefit. So as I'm reaching out to different parishes, I'm getting responses of how they'd like to carry it as well.
Okay. And we'll also feature it, of course, on our website, and people can buy it through our Amazon store, I'm sure.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And our website again is myocn.net. That's myocn.net. And the link to our web store is in the top banner, the red banner, and it's labeled simply Buy, B-U-Y. That's myocn.net. Remember, we are a nonprofit outreach, and any resource you order helps as a donation to the ministry. Well, our feature conversation today is with one of the co-founders of the very popular children's video series VeggieTales. His name is Michael Naraki, and he's also the EVP of Big Idea Entertainment.
It's great to have you with us today, Mike.
Thank you, Father Chris. So great to be with you.
I want to begin by thanking you, truly, for an amazing ministry that you and Paul Vischer have conducted through the VeggieTales brand, your shows and songs. They've really gotten kids not only interested in rich stories of the Old Testament, but also the use of the child's vocabulary and level of what they call emotional development to talk about how characters are just like them. What is that process like? I mean, choosing stories and then trying to reshape them to fit an audience that's truly very young.
Well, yeah, typically with every story, we start with a basic assumption with all our storytelling, a biblical worldview, the assumption that God made us, he loves us, and he wants a relationship with us. Mm-hmm. At the end of every story, Bob and Larry remind kids, God made you special, and he loves you very much. So that's the basic assumption that we go into with every story. And from that, we identify what types of lessons preschoolers that would be important for them to learn, or their parents may want them to learn, whether it's about sharing or loving your neighbor or forgiveness. And then key biblical principles, and then what the Bible has to say about that. Mm-hmm. You know, for instance, we're working on a pretty soon we're releasing a show called Veggies in Space. And they go up in space, and there's an adventure, and it's the lesson is about sharing. And so we ask ourselves, well, what does the Bible have to say about sharing? We identify a key verse, you know, Luke 3:11, anyone who has two tunics should share with him who has none, and anyone who has food should do likewise.
Nice.
So we take that key verse, and then we try to develop what we call a nugget of truth, something, a phrase that's going to be really easy for a child to relate to and to identify with and to remember. And so our phrase for that show was, when you have enough to spare, you have enough to share. Yeah. That idea of that if you have extra, if you have two tunics and there's somebody who doesn't have one, share something with them. So when you have enough to spare, you have enough to share. You know, sometimes they're very simple lessons like that. Another time, you know, we'll come across, particularly with a Christmas or Easter show, you know, something that has a bit more meat on the lesson. You know, for instance, we just finished a Christmas episode, Mary, Larry, and the True Light of Christmas, where we took the idea of light and the idea of Jesus, light of the world given to us. How do we communicate that in a way that kids can relate to and understand? And then, you know, the nugget of truth for that one became, Christmas shines most bright and true when you give the love God gave to you. So the idea that God gave us his son to us, and he is the light of the world, and you know that we took that concept and tried to wrap it into that little nugget of truth.
Well, you said something I think very revealing. You used the term God made you special and loves you very much, whether it's a child, a middle aged adult, a senior. I would think that that's important to them too, is it not?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I like to think we do theology on a preschool level, but
yeah.
it's the most basic idea that we are created and loved by God, and you know, from that, you know, that's where we can act out of that knowledge, you know, with that understanding, and you know, we can love because God first loved us. And so I think that's such a key principle, you know, like you said, for kids and adults as well.
You know, with the pushback that I'm feeling as a pastor now from many avenues, many sources against the Christianity, here you come on the stage with VeggieTales, bigger than life. These stories, recurring characters you use, they become an enormous part of a popular Christian culture. I mean, did you realize that there was this huge gap to fill when you started out? Or does it come as a shock to you at the enormous success?
Well, you know, I think maybe the size of the gap was surprising. You know, we recognized from the beginning that there was a need for just entertaining shows for kids that represented a biblical worldview. You know, we, you know, took a look at what was available, and this is 20 years ago. There were shows that were, you know, kids loved watching cartoons. You know, some of them were, you know, they could grade it teaching them their ABCs, but... you know, the idea that we could tell stories that would reinforce what so many people in our country and our world do every week, every Sunday, you know, taking their kids to Sunday school and teaching them these important principles and values, none of that was represented in the media that kids watched or consumed. And so we just wanted to reflect those values in the storytelling, in storytelling for kids. And so we recognized there was a need for that. But yeah, I mean, over, you know, the course of, 1993 was when we released Where's God and I'm Scared. And, you know, 3 or 4 years post that, when it really started to pick up, it was such a, you know, a surprise to us just to see how well that was embraced, and, you know, the size of the audience that we were able to get.
The target audience is clearly Christian. But I know a number of non-Christians who can sing along to those songs by memory. So what do you think makes your show so appealing, even to those who don't have that personal relationship with Christ?
You know, we try really hard to tell good stories that are good for kids. So, you know, I think if we have a lot to say if we're doing a show on sharing or loving your neighbor, trying to create a story that's really engaging for a child, that gives that child something actionable to do. How do I love my neighbor? How do I share? And so I think a lot of kids, or a lot of parents, appreciate that coming from a cartoon rather than something either whether it be just not useful at all or destructive. I think it's useful information for parents and we entertainment for kids. And I think we really try to, with Bob and Larry and with our whole cast, just make them friends of kids. I look back to my own childhood and, Bugs Bunny or Big Bird and these characters that, if you watch them, they become your friends and you care about what they have to say. And that's what we hope for kids with Bob and Larry. They spend time with them. They become their friends. They go on adventures with them. And what they believe about the world and what they believe about God becomes, it's important to Bob and Larry and it becomes important to the kids as well. So, that's what we try to do with the show.
Let me go a step further and say to you, or ask you a question rather, Christian media, why is it important? I mean, obviously we have books on theology and we have the hymns of the church, the worship services, but why the need for the Christian cartoon, the rock songs, the romance fictions, the radio programs? What do you think?
Well, I do think it really represents a biblical worldview, the idea that there's a creation, a fall, and redemption, and seeing ourselves as a part of that narrative, I think, is just so important, and gives some, it gives non-Christians something to, just an understanding of the faith, but then also gives Christians an idea of what they belong to, as I mentioned with VeggieTales, the basic assumption: God made us, He loves us, He wants a relationship with us. And I think if you can combine that assumption into a well-told story, into music from a great band or a great book, I think that can have a huge impact on people's lives.
I've gone for many years now, over 30 years in ministry, and I remember going to our preaching classes, and we would go to California, and we would sit there for 4 weeks, and they'd pick us apart to try to come up with the best kind of sermon that we could reach out with. And sometimes they would say to us, especially as Orthodox Christians, they would say, you guys are kind of deep. You're very, you've got this huge foundation, but you have trouble unpacking it so you can allow people to understand it. It's good. It's true. We know you believe it. We believe it to be the ancient historical Church of Christ. But many times you don't make it simple enough. And I could hear somebody from, let's say, a heavily Orthodox Christian perspective saying, it's kind of simplistic, Mike, to say God made you, He made you special, and loves you very much. But what about all the mess that happens, the mud pit of life in between? What I want to do, set the stage there, is sort of talk about the foundations that you are attempting to build within those kids so they can walk through that mud pit of life into adulthood. Could you address that?
Well, yeah. Like you said, it is a foundation. And if we truly believe that God made us and He loves us, He wants a relationship with us, that informs everything in our lives, the greatest commandment: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and then love your neighbor. Those are such foundational things, but things that really inform everything else that we do. So I guess that's it's a simple answer, but that's really what I would say to them. If this is what we truly believe, this is how it informs how we act to others. There's a theologian, Stanley Hauerwas. I always like to quote him. When it comes to doing Christian ethics, I heard him read it in a book he wrote one time, to not ask the question, "What should I do in a particular situation?" But who should I be? And if God made me, if He loves me, if I am His child, Who should I be and how I live my life? And so that's how I like to look at it.
Okay. Big Idea Entertainment is not affiliated with any one denomination, is it?
No, we're not.
Okay. So let's ask this question then. Why is it important to talk to Christians across the denominational lines like this, in your opinion?
Well, I do think it reminds us what we have in common. and really the heart of our faith. Personally, I grew up Catholic. When I was in seventh grade, my family and I began attending a Christian and Missionary Alliance church. And now I attend a Presbyterian church, and so, but at the heart of it is just the center of the faith, and looking at, if you can recite the Apostles' Creed, that's really at the heart of what we believe as Christians. And so, and the type of, I mentioned we did the, theology for preschoolers. So, yeah. They're just really, simple, basic things about what we believe and how we should treat each other, how we should relate to each other, and how we should relate to God. And so I think Christians share so much of that, and I think to be able to remind Christians of the beliefs that they do share.
If we all had that innocence we had when we were children and the ability to just get along and deal with each other, it might be a very different world, wouldn't it?
Well, absolutely. Yep. Jesus told that to his disciples. Yep.
Let the children come to me. All right.
Absolutely.
This is how I feel, and maybe you can disagree with me here. Feel free to do so. In my opinion, it seems that Christianity seems to be at a crossroads right now. I feel like saying you're a Christian doesn't really mean as much today as it did before. I know people who identify themselves as Christians, but who don't believe in anything that I do, let's say as a conservative Christian, as an Orthodox Christian. Yeah. The divisions between Christians aren't about deep theology anymore. They've become more about social issues like the sanctity of life, sexual identity, even gun violence. So let me ask you this. What do you think the next 25 years will hold for the future of that so-called global Christian church?
Wow. Yeah, that's a
big question.
Yeah, that's a big question. I guess more than a prediction, it'd be a hope, that we will, the church is the bride of Christ. We are his, and we are his children. And, to really recognize, just who we are called to be, and called to be, his light and his salt in the world. I think Christians need to point others to Christ, and, that's what I would hope. And, I do think, as we mentioned, if you can see this with the innocence of a child, just to look at that idea that, yes, we have a Father in heaven who made us, who loves us, who wants us to love each other, and who desires a relationship for us, who wants to save us, then, that's a powerful thing.
And with this splintering, I agree with you. I think we have much more in common than we have that's not in common, let's put it that way.
Yes.
In our Christianity. Yes, there are different beliefs. There are heartfelt beliefs, heartfelt dogmas. There's what we consider the so-called true church, the untrue churches. I understand that, heresies and all that business. Okay, I've got that. But given that splintering of the church as we know it, what do you think the future holds for Christian media?
Well, yeah, I think that Christian media just needs to keep expressing that that worldview. God made us, He loves us, He wants a relationship with us. I think if you tell a story in a beautiful way that people can relate to, with a character, with characters that you can follow, that you can hook into, that you can experience their story in an emotional way, I think that's going to reflect that worldview very powerfully. I mean, that's why we got started, so many years ago. This just the idea of the power of story. If you can engage a child or an adult in a story that makes them feel as they travel through that story with the character, that's going to have an impact. And so, that's what I hope Christian media will continue to do, whether it's Christian filmmakers or Christian bands. I've been at points in my life where, I'm going through the radio and I hear a song that really touches me where I am at that moment. And, mm-hmm. I think, God's word does not return void. It, if it's put out there, I feel like we do shows, we're not smart enough and we're not talented enough to do what God does with His Word when you put it out there. And so I think Christians, you need to keep reflecting that worldview, keep on putting His Word out there in the world, and letting Him do the rest.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks for your time, and thanks for a fascinating conversation. I appreciate it.
Father Chris, thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
In my bed, I start to pray and tell God all about my day. I've somehow overlooked my bed. It seems my dog is underfed. Forgot to change my underclothes. Watched one too many TV shows. I had some trouble sharing toys, and during rest time made some noise.
Well, I hope you've enjoyed this discussion as much as we have enjoyed bringing it to you. This is Come Receive the Light. Remember, you can find all of the VeggieTale videos available through our web store at myocn.net. Click on the Buy button at the top of the homepage. I'm Mike Trout. Our host each week is Father Christopher Metropoulos. We'll be back at this same time with another broadcast next week. I hope you'll join us and tell your friends to join us as well. Special thanks, as always, to our executive producer, Ann Dankert. And please remember to always have faith in what you listen to.
In my bed so quietly, I rest in knowing God, the